I want to welcome you first to Manifest, but I want to share with you that I heard specifically from the Holy Spirit the other morning, and I knew that I had to teach this message for the global audience of Manifest. Now, the title is really unique, but you just need to pay attention and listen to all of it, because there's two of three of these things that many people in the body of Christ are involved with, and they don't realize the damage they're doing to themselves. The moat goats. God said, warn Christians of three things. I want you to listen to this verse and pay attention to it. It's Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. Judge not, that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And this is an important line here. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank or the beam that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I want to share something with you that happened to me. I was not going to share that on this particular telecast, but it's going to fit with something in a moment. We were in Hershey, Pennsylvania on a family vacation in the month of June. And I a lot of times sleep great on a vacation, but I got up a little early and I was sitting at a table, and there was a long hallway that went back toward the bedrooms at this house that we'd rented. And I saw something out of my peripheral vision. I'm looking at my laptop, and I see something kind of moving. And I turned, and I thought at first it must have been my daughter that got up and maybe was going to the restroom or something. And I saw, and I don't play with this. I don't make up stories. This is only the second time in my life that I've seen this. I saw an angel of the Lord, and it almost looked like a hologram. It didn't look like a human person, but I could see the outline form perfectly. And it was carrying something under its arm, and it pointed its finger out, not toward me, but toward the wall. And it just went right through a wall. And I went, whoa. And immediately, when Pam got up, I told her, I told a man, I told the family, I said, I just saw something. So I began to inquire of the Lord about what was this angel carrying. This was on June the 30th, the morning of June the 30th. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he's carrying a book. And in that book are statements and words and idle words and careless words that individuals have said. And they've said it so much that the book is now full. And now the angel of chastisement is going to go forth and begin to chastise the people. Now, let me stop and say this. Sometimes people get by with a lot of things they do. They say things and they do things, and it can go on for months and it can go on for years, and they never see any negative repercussion from their activity. What they don't realize is, as the Bible says, that their cup of iniquity becomes full, and that's when God moves. So what had happened is, in the books of heaven, the Bible said every idle word will men give an account of, so we know that. But the book had become full, and now God says, now we're going to enact chastisement. Now let me say this. And I've learned this over the years, and I'm seeing this the past 2 years more than any other time of my life with individuals and situations that I've been familiar with. The negative that you wish would happen to other people will eventually come back on you. And you can read Psalm 64. The arrows that are shot out of your mouth will turn, and actually what they do is they break your hedge of protection down. It's a whole message in itself. Number two is, the attack that you engage in will eventually backfire on you. And Psalm 64 indicates about things that are not justified. It's your opinion. It's how you feel. It's what you think. But eventually, it's going to turn and come back on you. And I want to say this. We have a generation of moat goats. You say, what is a moat goat? Well, if you look at the scripture, there's sheep and there's goats. Sheep represent true believers who follow the voice of the shepherd. Goats represent, actually, if you want to really look at it, they represent someone that's in the flock that's a hypocrite. Now, pay careful attention to the words I'm about to say. I'm telling you something. This is a very important teaching you've got to hear. There are three sins that can be committed against the Holy Spirit. And I've got to cover these because my spirit has been grieved by things I have heard people say and things I have seen on social media. You have people who carelessly repeat information that is either not totally vetted, not totally correct, totally created falsely by AI, or they're repeating things that happened years ago, which were settled, and they don't even know it's all been settled, it's all done, it's all over with, but they're still going back to it. Now, here's what's happening. The first sin that people commit, and Christians can do this, is found in Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. The second sin that's being committed, and you've got to follow me with all this, is the quenching of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. What I'm concerned about, and I'm going to explain why, is the third sin, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, Mark 3:29. But he that shall blaspheme the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And eternal damnation would mean separation from God in hell. They would not even go to heaven. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to cover the idea of grieving the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, the word grieving in the Greek language, the Koine Greek language of which the New Testament was written, means to distress or to make sad. And if you want me to explain to you what it's like a person that has died that you love, and you feel a deep sorrow and sadness at the fact that they are separated from you. That feeling that you have received, if you've ever gone to a funeral of a loved one, a family member, and you feel that sorrow and grief on the inside, that's the grief that the Holy Spirit feels when one of the children of God who claim to have the Holy Spirit or maybe filled with the Holy Spirit begins to grieve the Holy Spirit. So grieving the Holy Spirit is to create a sorrow or a grief in the Holy Spirit himself, and I'm going to say the heart of the Holy Spirit because he's not a body, soul, and spirit like where he is a spirit, but I'm using that to help you understand what I'm saying. And so this alludes to sorrow and extreme sadness. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 40, it talks about the children of Israel, and here's what it says about the children of Israel. It says that in the wilderness, they grieved God because they said, can God do this? Can God do that? They doubted him. They fell into unbelief, according to the book of Hebrews, and their unbelief with their mouth and with their actions, and then their attack on Moses, who was their leader, grieved the Holy Spirit, Psalms 78 and verse 40. How often did they provoke God in the wilderness and grieve him? And this is the reason why God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Can I think about that? Because they grieved the Holy Spirit by what they were saying. And so grief can be done by sinning with your mouth. Now with Israel, and we added this up one time, there were 10 major complaints that they made about Moses or about being in the wilderness or about God providing food or God providing for them. We see that this grieving is a part of what God was totally grieved with them about. And so there is then the sin of the golden calf. Now, when the sin of the golden calf began to take place, we got this perfect timing, this big gold calf to the left side of me, the right of your screen. And just keep that picture up there for a minute. In Exodus chapter 15, in Exodus chapter 32, they worshiped a golden calf. They built a gold calf with the earrings that they were wearing, melted them down. Aaron did this, believe it or not. And what happened is they began to worship the golden calf, and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. 3,000 people died as a result of worshiping a gold cow. Why would they pick a gold cow? Because the Egyptians worshiped a cow by the name of Apis, and it was, it was an idol, not a real cow, but an idol. And it was supposed to be the god of prosperity to bring prosperity to the Egyptians. And so they're in a wilderness, and they're wanting prosperity to come, so they worship a god that represented prosperity instead of worshiping the true God. So 3,000 died. And in Exodus chapter 15 in verse 24, it says the people murmured against Moses. So they attacked the leadership. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27. They murmured in their tents that God hates us. And it says the Lord heard them. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. God slew Korah and 250 men that were attacking Moses and trying to overthrow Moses and disrupting the entire plan of God. This would be like a rebellion in the church, if you can compare it to that. And when God slew, opened up the mouth of the earth and swallowed Korah and 250 princes down alive, you know what the people said? You have killed the Lord's people. Well, yes, they were the Lord's people. But oh my goodness, they were rebelling against God and grieving God and causing trouble in the entire camp. Now, it says this in Ecclesiastes 5 and 6. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore God, should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? Now, think about this. People are constantly talking with their mouth and talking down, criticizing, innuendos, offenses, lies, misinformation, and they're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's my point. And so the joy leaves, the peace leaves, the sleep at night leaves, and then they get troubled by a tormenting spirit. That's in the New Testament as well. And you know, Samson was anointed, but Samson abused that anointing. He did not respect the anointing. He had a Nazirite vow. He wasn't supposed to drink strong drink. He wasn't supposed to touch a dead carcass, and he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. So he goes to a wedding. They're having a party. And yet after he goes to this wedding and they're drinking around and all that, the Spirit of God still came upon him. And then later on in the book of Judges, he touches a dead carcass, and yet the Spirit of God came upon him. But when the third vow, and these were Nazirite vows, was broken, look what happened when he broke the third vow. Three vows, he breaks the third one. And Delilah said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that, watch this, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Now you listen to this preacher. Your mouth and the words you say are heard by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you especially, he hears you. He sees the actions. And you can get to the point that what you say, your negativity, your hate, your offense, your just your attack, well, I tell you what I think, all that, it will grieve the Holy Spirit. You will show up in church. You won't be able to feel the presence of God. You won't be able to feel the peace of God. You will lose the joy of the Lord, and you need to repent for grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's get to this other one real quick. The second is quenching the Holy Spirit. The Greek word quench in the passage means to extinguish or to put out a fire, or to do something that makes the fire go out. Now, in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said that that Jesus would come and baptize believers with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And in Matthew chapter 3:11, fire in the Greek is the word pur, P-U-R, and it can figuratively or literally, it can refer to lightning. It can refer to like a lightning flash that comes in the sky. But that could be the literal interpretation. But from a figurative, it's hard for me to say that word, figurative level, it also means burning with zeal. In other words, the zeal of God. Don't quench the fire and the zeal of God. I remember years ago being in a revival in the state of Virginia, and it was an early pastor, and the young people were on fire for God. They were in the church basement praying. They were coming to the front, but it was an old traditional church that had traditional ways of doing things. And I mean, he got up in the pulpit and told those young people to sit down and be still. And eventually that man actually ran off with another woman in the church. It's an old time preacher. And this is a long time ago when I was about 18 years of age. And I thought, wow, he maybe didn't want the Holy Spirit moving because he was afraid the Holy Spirit was going to expose what he was doing. I don't know. But I remember one time years ago, my father and a friend of his, Lloyd Adair, went to pray in the Hollas. Now that, you don't know what that is. That's a valley between two mountains where homes are built on either side in the state of West Virginia. Kentucky has them as well, but especially West Virginia. And there was a woman that had cancer, and I'm going to abbreviate this story because it's very long. And they prayed for this woman, and in 2 days, God completely healed her. And word got out that Dad and Lloyd had prayed for this woman. And you know what the pastor of the church did? And I want you to think about this. This could have caused a great revival to break out. This could have caused people to bring the sick and the afflicted from all over those hollows and all over those mountains to that church. And God would have performed great miracles just like he did for this precious woman. Dad said the pastor called him in. I think Dad may have been 18. Lloyd may have been 19. They were teenagers. And said, "Now, boys, I want to tell you something. Don't you be talking about that miracle God did. You talk about that miracle, that's pride, that's arrogance. And I'm going to tell you what will happen. God will take the anointing from you." Well, the pastor apparently was jealous over the fact that God had used these two young preachers. And so what he was trying to do, can I tell you what he was doing? He was basically telling them, quench the spirit and quench the fire and quench the zeal. And so you have to be careful not to allow the opinions of others to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this very carefully, because there are great churches in America. There are great nominal churches, old churches. There's charismatic Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, all kinds of churches. But if you go to a church where they quench the worship, they quench the idea of you worshiping out loud or singing out loud, I'd find another church, because what they're doing is quenching the Holy Spirit, and you will never experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. What you will experience is a continual ritual. It's just going to be a form, a ritual, and a routine every week. Now, so be careful not to quench the Spirit, because it will vex the Holy Spirit. And eventually, just like God said in the days of Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man. Now, the third is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So let me read this verse. I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, this is Jesus, it'll be forgiven him, if he asks for forgiveness, of course. But to him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. That's Luke 12, 8 through 10. So there is another sin that can be committed, and this is called and been known as the unpardonable sin, which is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word blaspheme means to defame. Fame, to rail on, to speak evil of. So the Bible says about Jesus, his fame spread abroad. That's his popularity, the fact that people knew him, they knew of him, they spoke well of him. But to defame someone is to try to damage their reputation by speaking falsely or speaking maliciously or even telling lies about him. The Pharisees were so afraid Jesus was going to get this huge following that they began to teach that Jesus was casting out devils by the power of the devil, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, and even talking about his miracles being fake and all these other things. Now, the purpose of the Pharisees raising up against Jesus was to frighten the common people and to draw them away from the ministry of Jesus. But listen to me for just a moment, because this is very, very important. That was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees claimed to know the Word, to know God, to pray, to fast. They did all the right things, but yet they accused Jesus of operating through the power of the devil. And that is what Jesus used in the context of warning people about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And again, once it is done, it is the only sin in the entirety of the Bible that's listed that absolutely cannot be forgiven. Okay? And so I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to hear me. And I realize I'm about to cross a line here that's going to cause a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, to be upset with me. But you know what? You'll just have to be. The greatest hindrance to the body of Christ in the United States. Now, let me say this. You can go anywhere outside the U.S. and you can see miracles in Islamic countries and Hindu countries, by just miracles all over the place. In the United States, though, there's something called the cessationist doctrines. Cessation is when preachers believe theologically that the gifts of the Spirit, the miraculous gifts, the vocal gifts, the miraculous gifts have ceased either in 95 AD with the death of the Apostle John, and others teach that in the 4th century when the New Testament was compiled, that those gifts have ceased. Now, here's what happens. Because I am from 4 generations of ministers who operated in the gifts of the Spirit, I saw it with my eyes. I saw them pray in languages that they had never learned, that foreigners understood what they were saying. I saw my dad pray for the sick and miracles happen. So you can't come to me. Don't ever try to write me and give me all your theology that you don't believe God can answer prayer, God can do a miracle. Now, the problem with that is this. I have known, and I'm not going to name this man. I don't do that. People get on their YouTube channels or TV and, hey, I don't name this guy. I'm looks like, no, I don't do that. But there was a man, and I heard him teach one time about how he believed, very well known, very large church, but he said, anyone who speaks in tongues today, it is of the devil. Now, there's two types of sinning when it comes to this aspect. One is the sin of ignorance, and the other one's called the sin of knowledge. The sin of knowledge is to know that there's a possibility that this is true, but you still say, I don't believe in it, or to know it's true and to turn away from it. Now, if you know something is true in the gospel and you've experienced it, then you turn away, then you are what the Bible calls an apostate. And so the greatest danger I see in the American body of Christ is men who are pastors to stand up and accuse that these good men and women, doesn't matter if they're mountain people or city people, are operating under demonic power or it is not of God because their theology says that all this stuff ceased, okay? You have to be careful because you could blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I've only met one person in my life that, it's a long story, that admitted to blaspheming the Holy Spirit and they cannot feel God. They have no contact. They can't pray. It's like they are a walking zombie. Now, for those of you who are out there and you say, well, Brother Stone, I cry sometimes because maybe I did something. You may have done something in ignorance. You may have done something before you were saved. You did it in total ignorance. Paul said he caused people to blaspheme the name of Jesus before he was saved, but he did it in ignorance. That is different from someone who willfully does it. And I had a story I was going to tell here, which would have gone with this perfectly, but we'll save that for another time. Don't come off the air. Don't turn the channel. Watch what I'm about to show you. It's very important. The world's premier prophetic voices were all in one location for an end-time prophetic summit. The 2026 conference messages are now available, unedited, on DVDs, CDs, MP3 audio, and on digital download. 7 speakers, 14 messages in 3.5 days. Attendees called this a Bible school in a vinyl case. Here are the message titles. Jonathan Kahn preached on war harbingers in Persia and gave us an update on America's demonic battle. Rick Renner preached 3 messages, powerful Greek word studies concerning your personal spiritual warfare, breaking down the details of second coming signs, the rapture and the revealing of the restrainer, and then this great message called The Mystery of the Holy Spirit from the original Greek New Testament. Joseph Z, How to Keep Revelatory Movements Alive in the Earth and Mastering Your Prophetic Experiences. Bill did one of the greatest messages I ever heard. It's called The Mingling of the Iron and Clay Has Begun. Dr. Brian Cutshaw came in with the fire and anointing of God and preached today's battle for Holy Grail, the final Ishmael and Isaac clash. Jeremiah Johnson taught a word called The 5 Satanic Strategies Before You Birth a Breakthrough. My 5 messages were the Iranian Revolution and the aligning of the last coalitions. Then I preached when God sends a warning to you through your pets and animals. The 3rd message was called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. The next message was how, when, and why the earth and heavens will melt with fire. And the final message I preached was Prince Spirits and Archangels, the battle for the fulfillment of the prophecies. The 14 audio CDs are $65 a set. The 14 DVDs are $95 a set. And you can also get the USB flash drive for $65, and you can look into getting digital downloads. There is an offer number for each one of these. It is important to get the right offer number when you're ordering, whether it be CD, DVD, or whatever the case may be. Now, you can order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD, or if you'd like to mail a check for the amount and also put what you're ordering with the offer number, you can go to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and remember, put the offer number in there as well. You need to get started in your personal study. This was the greatest prophetic summit or conference I've ever been in, and I want you to hear everything that was said. God bless you. Hey, let me remind you again of something that's very, very, very important. I've said this before, many times we will go to a place to minister. We'll be there a weekend, sometimes one or two services. And I'll be out eating at a restaurant. Perry, oh, we watch you all the time on TV. We did not know you were here. And I'm telling you that if you watch our program on social media, or if you watch our program on a television station, we always announce where we're coming to. Now, here's what happens. I've learned this. People watch the program, and then when I say we're going to an offer, sometimes they'll go ahead and get up and do whatever they're doing, and they'll leave the screen. Or maybe they'll watch the offer, and then they cut it off. Now, you never know what we're offering unless you watch the offer, and you never know where I'm going to be unless you keep watching to the very end. If you watch me on YouTube, I have an announcement of something special at the end of every YouTube broadcast. So please keep all that in mind, okay? And so also our new Legacy Club, which is just unbelievable how it's going. And you need to look that up, the Legacy Club, because what we're doing, we're taking tapes and videos from the past 30, 40 years ago, longer than that. And we're putting them on our computer. And so for a subscription of $30 a month, or that's what we're asking for to be a part of the club, you can get up to, if you had to pay for it, if you had to order it, you'd pay for about $100 for everything that you're getting. And you can do that as a subscription for $30 a month. You don't have to order. You don't have to call. You don't have to write. It will come up every month. Bam, it comes up on your computer, also on your phone, and you can listen, and there'll be a special video. You can see older videos, and I stored this stuff up for years. I've kept it. Now we're using it, and you can be a part of it. We just want to share with you the biggest thing is the main event, which is coming up in October for not only the 50th anniversary camp meeting, but our great fall festival. Please, I'm asking all my friends that have watched. I've preached in your churches 30, 40 years ago. I've not seen some of you in 30 and 40 years. Why don't you come and see us? No, there'll never be another 50th anniversary, okay? So I want you to come and see me and plan on coming. You have to register, no fee to attend. Go to perrystone.org for all of our ministry information. I have a brand new book coming out. You're going to want to get this. God bless you. I want you to join me and our entire family for a one-time historic event. On Tuesday night, October 6th through Saturday, October the 10th, Pam and I will host our 50th anniversary of ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee. This is our homecoming event. I have 5 new messages, including a major prophetic update. Special morning speakers are going to be John Brevere, Mario Morello, and Dr. Tim Hill. Lyndall Cooley will be leading us in worship. But listen to this. You're going to enjoy some of the best gospel music on the planet. Southbound is coming. Lee University Campus Choir, Old Tradition from Kentucky, Brian Free and Assurance, and many others. And don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon. It's fun. It's fellowship. It's food. It's fantastic. Now, the event is free to attend. However, you must register at perrystone.org. Do it today.